storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hollow of thy hand, keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we kind of rearranged things just a little bit because I wanted the pledge closer to the message this morning. And I'm going to talk to you about America today. And so if you'll open up your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalms chapter 33, we're going to have Brother Cleo come up and read verses 12 to 22. Psalms 33 and verses 12 through the end of the chapter. Brother Cleo.
Good morning, beloved. Psalms chapter 33?
Yes, Psalms 33.
12 through the rest of the chapter. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, and he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee.
The Bible tells us here in Psalms 33, 12, it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And brothers and sisters, today that's the church.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray now, Lord, that you would help me as I deliver the message that you have laid upon my heart for your people this morning. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged today. Lord, I pray that you would be with us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would give liberty this morning. And Father, I do pray that if there be anybody among us today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day that they would come forward at the invitation, or Lord, stop somebody and talk with them and invite you into their heart today. And now, Father, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray for our country. Lord, I pray for our president. Lord, I pray for our political leaders. Lord, I first of all and most importantly pray for their salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with them. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help them to make decisions according to your word. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done in our country. And Father, I just pray now that you'd have your will and your way in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. As I've shared with you, Tammy and I, we have had the privilege of spending 32 years as missionaries. And we have traveled around the world preaching the gospel. We started out many years ago in the country of Mexico. And then the Lord led us to the country of Mongolia. And you know, again, as I've told you all before, be careful, you know, what you complain about and be careful what you pray about, because the Lord will answer it. And we went from 115 degrees to minus 60. You know, so the Lord answered our prayer. But we went from Mexico to Mongolia. And then as God began to work in our hearts and our lives, we had the opportunity to go to the country of Colombia. And spend some time there. We had the opportunity to go to the country of Peru and spend some time there. And then before we came here to be your pastor, the Lord allowed us to spend some time in Armenia and in the country of India, and time where we spent preaching and teaching the Word of God and working on establishing churches and training and teaching men to proclaim the Word of God within their country. And I'll tell you, by far, folks, America is still the greatest country in the world. And the privileges that God has given us here, and the blessings that God has given us here. And as I shared with you through the last about 6 years of Tammy and I being on the mission field, and we kept coming back to America, you know, it really started even from the beginning when we many years ago left for America. It was around 94, right around in that area, America was still a pretty solid, godly country. There were some morals. There was some things, and again, the churches around America were strong churches. Were endeavoring to win souls and endeavoring to reach out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could go in any store or any place across America and even out of the country, and identifying a Christian just by the way that they looked was possible. But you know, every time that we would go, and we would spend 4 years out of the country, and then we'd come back for a year, we begin to notice a decline. The wonderful country that we left, and the godly people that supported us in churches around America begin to get fewer and fewer. And every time that we would repeat that process and come back a little bit more, it would be a little further down, a little bit further down. And as I was sharing with you about the last 6 years of Tammy and I serving on the field, we began to really get burdened about America. We begin to get burdened about the condition of America and the condition of churches across America. It was probably about 2018. I did some internet research and I began to do some study, and in 1 year, across the United States, there were over 7,000 churches of our stripe close their doors. And it began to burden me as Tammy and I, we would go from one church to the other, and we would see churches that at one time stood on the Word of God, at one time preached the Word of God, at one time were out active in their community, in their neighborhood, knocking on doors and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It got less and it got less, to where in most churches today, it's non-existent. And then as we look at our country is in the shape that it's in is because the church is in the shape that it's in. The text verse that we were reading here, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And as you look at that, and you'll see that the word Lord there is capitalized, which it's indicating and letting us know that it's talking about God Almighty. And it's letting us know that He's our Lord and ruler. You know, there was one day in America that was true. But I come with a broken heart, because today in the America that we live in, it's no longer true. It's no longer true. When President Obama was in office, he made the statement, "America is no longer a Christian nation." And what breaks my heart about that statement is the truth in that statement. And it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." And as I've already made the statement today, folks, that is us, the church. America. Today, the leaders of our country have disregarded the truth of this verse. The people of our country have disregarded the truth of this verse. The churches across America have disregarded the truth of this verse. The way of greatness is not found in the avenues that they are pursuing today. You know, the direction that our country is going in, the direction that our political leaders are taking our country to, and the things and decisions that they are making, greatness will not be found in that. Because, folks, sin always ends in sadness, sorrow, destruction, and death. And today, our political leaders of our country are driving our country full speed ahead. And what sad, church, with little to no resistance, driving our country into sin, death, sin, sorrow, and death. Folks, what has God given to America? You know, when we look at the things that God has given to America, God has given America wonderful natural resources. There is no other country on this planet that has natural resources like America has. We have all of the We have all of the things that is needed to survive on this earth that are found right here in this country. We, the fields of America, across America, grow the food that we need to survive in this country. And the trees of this country provide the fruit and the wood that we need. The mines of this country give us every mineral that men use to make the drugs and the things that we have today. And from the pastures of America, there's every meat that is good for food. And folks, these came by the blessing of God. These things were given by God to America because of what America once stood for. What people like you and me in churches across America stood up and stood for, the principles on which America was started. God also gave natural beauty to America. And again, I have been to other countries and I have seen what they have, and I've seen some beautiful things across the world and in other countries. But I'll tell you, by far, America is the most beautiful place in the world. Even this time of year, it is Tammy and I's favorite time of year. When you drive down the road and you see all of the beautiful trees and all of the different colors, and when you look at them, you cannot deny that there is a God. And so we have beauty beyond compare than most countries. We have the Atlantic coast. We have the Pacific Ocean. We have the Gulf Shores. We have beautiful countryside like here in Kentucky and Ohio and St. Lawrence and the mighty Mississippi and Colorado. You can go anywhere in America and find some of the most beautiful things to look at. You know, I have been in into the Smoky Mountains, and I've stood on the edge of a mountain and looked out and seen the vast beauty that God has given to America. We have mountains, we have the Smokies, we have the Rockies, we have other mountains, and we have interesting places that we can visit and go to in America. We have Niagara Falls, we have the Grand Canyon, we have Yellowstone National Park, we have the Redwood Forest, we Silver Springs and Stone Mountain. We have some very interesting places. You know, you and many of us have. You could spend a lifetime traveling around the United States, and you will find more beauty here than you will find in any other country in the entire world. And folks, I'm not speaking to you by just reading in a book. I'm speaking to you by places that I've been and that I've visited. By far, America is more beautiful than any other country in the entire world. And why? It's because God gave it to us. God also has given us a form of government that is unlike any other country in the world. God has given us, we have a free democracy. Now, there are other countries that claim to have a free democracy. But you know, when you get in there, they don't really have it. America still has it. But folks, we are losing it quickly. We are losing it quickly. And within the next couple of years, if we don't stand up and do what we know we should and what we're right, I would almost guarantee you within the next 2 years, we will not no longer have democracy here in America. You say, "Oh well, preacher, you're being political, and that's not the place in the church." I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because America is where it is because of God and because of the church. And what we've got to do, America, and what we've got to do, church, is we've got to turn. We've got to repent. We've got to turn back to the Lord. We've got to turn back to God. We've got to turn back to the things of God. We've got to turn our families back to God. God has given us a wonderful government that has given us so much liberty and so much freedom. Every large nation on earth has been changed because of America's government. Think about that, folks. Because of America's government, Tammy and I were able to travel into all other countries of the world and be able to preach the gospel. You think about how what happens here in America and the effect that it has on other countries around the world. But folks, it's sad to say we're losing that, but we haven't lost it. And despite the attacks on it, from without and from within, we still have the Declaration of Independence. You know, we had some founding fathers of our country who wrote down some documents and who set some things in line. And folks, I don't care who tells you what, they were all based upon the Word of God, and it came from the Word of God. And we have the Declaration of Independence. We have the Constitution that guards our liberties. You see, our forefathers had a vision for the future. They could see that there would be some political corruptness coming up. And so what they did is they made some permanent documents. And they put some things in place to protect us and to guard us. And if we're not careful, folks, and if we don't wake up, and if we don't stand up and do what we should do, we are going to lose it. And we are losing it. God has given us a good form of government. God has also given us here in America the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. But you know, that's a thing that's been under fire here lately. That's the thing that there are corporations that are shutting it down and squashing our free speech. And it's amazing the free speech that we have and the freedom of the press. I can stand here from this platform this morning and I can proclaim the Word of God. I can proclaim and stand up and speak without worry of harassment. And I thank the Lord for it. And I can speak the convictions of my heart. And editors of papers can write what they wish in their column, good or bad. But what's sad to say, folks, our church has not only lost her voice with the gospel, the church has also lost her voice with standing up for godly morals and principles and speaking against the sin and the perversion of this world. We've lost it, folks, to the point of where we won't even stand up and speak against it when it affects the very innocent of our population, our children. And church, unless we stand up, and Christians, unless we stand up and make a difference, we're going to lose what we have. We're going to lose and not have it anymore. And praise the Lord, God has also given us in America freedom of religion. Whatever you believe, whatever your belief, no one can close your church. You know, and that's either good or bad. You know, a group of homosexuals could go down the road here and start the first church of homosexuality, and they have the freedom to do that. And no one can close them down. And it gives us the freedom that we have today to have a church that stands on the Word of God, and we have freedom of religion. You know, years ago, it was in Spain, they closed and locked the doors of all Protestant churches and forced them to unite with what is called the Mother Church. You know, folks, if we're not real careful, one day they're going to come and they're going to tell us, you either join in with our religion of humanism and using modern day language, or we're going to cancel you out. We're going to shut you up. We're going to take your building. We're going to lock your doors. We're not going to allow you. You see, that's already been done in Spain. We haven't come to that here in America, but I wonder how long we have before it does. We have the church in Russia in 1937. Stalin ordered all the houses of prayer and every concept of God banished from Russia. You know why Putin over there in Russia can do what he's doing to the Ukrainians and bombing and killing and murdering innocent women and children? Because God was banished from their country in 1937. You know what our politicians are trying to do today in America, folks? They're trying to banish God from our country. And you know what's really sad? They're doing a really good job at it. They're doing a really good job at it. You know, we say the pledges here at our church because there's many schools around America today that they don't say the pledge to the American flag anymore. And that's wrong. And that shouldn't be. But we have freedom of religion today. You know, because of a humble Baptist preacher in Rhode Island named Roger Williams. Roger Williams was a man who fled to America because of persecution. He was a Baptist preacher that established the settlement of Rhode Island. And he wrote in the Constitution of that little settlement, he wrote in there that every man should be free to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. And then later, Thomas Edison and the men who wrote the Constitution of America borrowed that principle from Roger Williams. You know, it was a Baptist preacher that stood up and said, enough is enough. It's time we change course. It's time we stand up. It's time we speak out for what is right. In America, our church, I believe we are in that place in America today. Folks, our freedom of religion is at stake. Our freedom of religion is at stake because there's people that don't like it when we stand up and we say homosexuality is sin and it is wrong. They don't like it when we talk about the LGB and whatever all the initials are, and when we stand up and say it's wrong and it has no place and it shouldn't be done. They don't like it when we stand up and we talk about sin and we preach against sin. And if we're not careful, they're going to come and they're going to shut us down because they're already working at it. We must stand. We must speak up. Again, there are some people today that may not appreciate this message because they say, well, in our Constitution, it says that there's separation of church and state. Can I help you understand what that meant? The separation of church and state means that no political church can be accepted as a state church. What that's talking about is there the government cannot force you, like the Spaniards did, people to join the state church. That means that there's not a church that we as citizens that we should be forced to pay taxes to and support as a state church. And it does not mean that Christians are not to have interest in politics. Christians, we better get interested in politics, and we better get interested real quick while we still have the opportunity. You know, as I got to looking at this and as I was studying out this lesson, and the fact of separation in state, church and state, do you realize, folks, that has been violated? There is a state church. There is a church that our government today is trying to force us to be a part of, and even taking our tax dollars and financing it and paying for it. It's the church of humanism, which is recognized by our government as a religion. And you know what humanism says? Homosexuality is just fine. Humanism says, hey, if you want to be a girl tomorrow, you're a boy and you want to be a girl tomorrow, that's fine. Or if you're a girl and you want to be a boy, that's fine. Humanism says that, hey, if you don't want to control yourself and you get pregnant and you want to have an abortion, we'll pay for it and murder that unborn child. And that exists here in our country today. You see, they don't call it a church. They kind of slid it in under the radar. But we're paying for it. We're paying in our education system for them to go in and to pervert. Let me repeat that. Pervert the minds of our children. They started off by telling our children in our public schools that their parents have no right to discipline them. Their parents have no right to tell them what they can and can't do. And then they begin to fill their heads every day with all the hogwash that's going on. And you know who's paying for it? We are. We're paying for the perverting of our children. We're paying for our country to have its own little church. And you know what's really interesting? They're in every community. They're called elementary, middle school, junior high, and high school. Little churches where they're perverting the minds of our children every single day. And they're turning them into little idiot robots that will follow their lead. Church, we can no longer sit back and be quiet. We can no longer sit back and just let it happen. The God of America. If America is great, it's because, generally speaking, God has been given His rightful place in America. Where's America today? You know why America is where it's at? Because we've thrown it out of the school. We've thrown it out of the government. And Christians, we've thrown it out of our homes. And actually, that is backwards. We first threw it out of the home. And then it was thrown out of the government, and then it was thrown out of the school. America is great only when God is in His rightful place. Church, you want to turn America around? You want America to be a nation that is blessed by God? Then let's put God back where He belongs. America, historically, was established on the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. In South America, the president said, said this, South America was founded by men who were seeking gold. North America was founded by men seeking God. Our country has a godly heritage, and we need to get back to it. Someone else said, the Spaniards came here to America for gold. The French came for gain. But the original colonists came for God. Our country was established by men and women who had a burden to reach the natives of this country for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they left from where they were being persecuted and came here to establish the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to win the native Indians here, and to establish a country that would follow and stand on godly principles. You know where all the other garbage came in from? It wasn't the original settlers. It was other people coming in that saw the gold, and other people that came in and saw the wealth that could be made. But it was not the original settlers. Our forefathers founded our nation upon Christian religion and on Christian values and on the Word of God. America will live as long as the Lord still, as long as the Lord is still her God. Psalms 33:12 is still in the Word of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When we give God His rightful place again, we will see America blessed. As we pledge this morning, one nation under God. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt and prayed, thanking God for the country that He had given them. The churches, the church was at the center of every new settlement. The Continental Congress, when they faced problems and difficulties, Benjamin Franklin called upon the members of Congress to fall upon their knees and pray. Wouldn't you like to see that happen in Washington again today? Where our congressmen and women got down on their hands and knees before God and cried out and prayed. It's not too late. It's not too late. But if we continue the path that we're going down, church, we'll lose a lot. The guilt of America. The first sin of America is indifference. It's just plain wickedness when we say, I am only one person, how can I make a difference? You know, church, we've done that for quite a while, thinking, oh, well, hey, the wickedness of the world is so great, it's so large, it's so big, you know, and we're so small and we're so insignificant, you know, why bother? What difference will it make if I stand up and speak? Well, you see, what we have that they don't have is God. How many times were the children of Israel outnumbered? How many times, even when they were outnumbered, God would tell them, okay, cut out 20 more thousand, cut out 50,000, and only send a handful to battle where the opposition was tremendously larger. We face that today in America. But what we have done most of the time is we've sat back and we've said, hey, who am I? I'm just one person. What's my voice? Well, what difference is it going to make? Well, if it doesn't make any other difference other than you standing before God and Him saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," then it's made a difference. But church, we've got to stop with our indifference. We've got to stop doing what we're doing. We have allowed the devil to take us down a road of ruin. We've voted for wealth over God. We voted for party over right. We don't get behind good, godly politicians these days because what we're too busy worried about is voting our wallet. You know what we've done, church? We have traded the blessings of God for the wealth of the devil. We have traded the blessings of God for the wealth of the devil. You see, the devil can bless. The devil can give. But you mark it down. It will end in sadness, sorrow, and death. Because that's what the devil is. Church, I challenge you. Let's stand up and make a difference. We've got an election coming up. You say, "Oh, preacher, no place in the church." I'm sorry, but yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know who fed us that lie? The same corrupt, evil politicians that are sitting in Washington today, telling us we have no right. We ought to just sit back and we ought to shut up and just let things be. No, we ought to stand up. We ought to get out there and vote. And you know, I don't care what a politician offers you, how much money he promises to give you. It doesn't matter whether he's Democrat, whether he's independent, or he's Republican. If he stands on abortion, as a believer of the Word of God and as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot vote for him. I don't care what the other guy looks like. I don't care what kind of intelligence he's got or what ability he has. You cannot vote for someone who believes in the cold-blooded murder of innocent children. Amen. Let's be the voice of those little children. Amen. And let's stand up and say it's enough. God said it was better that a millstone were tied around our neck and that we were cast into the sea than to offend one of his little ones. And to murder an unborn child is just sick. It's just sick. And now we've gone to perverting the ones that are born. We have to stand up and say, "Hey, we're not going to have it anymore." And if we don't stand up and vote and get people in there that have better values than what are in there today, we're in trouble, because you know what they're trying to push through? They're trying to right now push through as quickly as they possibly can where your child, where your little boy that wants to be a little girl without your consent can go and have that operation done. And you know who pays for it? We do. And the school don't have to tell you either, and they don't. They're doing it all across America already. Taking children to doctor's offices and giving them hormone blockers. They can't give them an aspirin without your permission, but they can take them to a doctor and get hormone blockers. It's sick. It's perverted. They're in our schools teaching our children that homosexuality is okay. No, it is not. Amen. It is sin. Amen. And it is wrong. And furthermore, they have no right to pervert my children. Amen. If they want to be perverted, that's one thing. Perverting my children and my grandchildren are another. And we need to stand up and let them know, leave your hands off of my children. Amen. But as long as we sit back with our indifference, they're going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, today we live in a country where I know this will probably be cut off from social media because they don't want people knowing. You know, as I prepared this message, it did cross my mind and I got to thinking, man, if I get up there and I preach this, what might happen? Who's going to be the next one knock on my door and say, hey, we want to audit you. We want to check you a little bit closer. You say, oh, that don't happen. No, sure it does. Sure it does. But what we've got to do is stop being afraid of an ungodly world and be more afraid of God in the judgment that we will face for sitting back and doing nothing. Church, it's time that we stand. And I want to encourage you this November, don't miss voting. And when you vote, vote the word of God. Let's vote God back into our country. Let's vote morals and standards back into our country. Let's stand up and say, hey, you guys don't like the way things are. You go to another country and you start your own. But if we don't stand up, if we don't start doing something, church, if we don't start getting out there in our community, if we don't start getting out there and doing more witnessing and leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't get out there and if we don't get acting, if we don't get moving, what we're enjoying today won't happen. You see, I've been to countries where you don't have the liberty to go up and down the street and pass out a gospel tract. Where if you got caught or you were overheard speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get imprisoned. In the country of India, when a Christian is converted, or when a person from Hindu or an Indian person is converted to Christianity, their family turns on them and in some cases literally beat them to death if they don't deny Christ. There's a whole police department in India that's devoted to just that job. You say, oh, well, we're in America. That won't happen here. Oh, well, don't you be so foolish. Don't you be so foolish. You know why they're attacking the Constitution? You know why they're attacking the Bill of Rights? Because their intentions are to shut us up. You know, we have a government today that creates problems in order to get their way. We have so much in America that God has given us. And it was given to us because we were a nation and a country that was established on biblical principles, and we lived those biblical principles. We've lost it today because in our homes, that's not so anymore. Church, I want to challenge you. Let's turn back to God. Let's turn back to God. And we can start right here. Right here in Hebron. Fill up these empty seats. Oh, they won't come. They won't listen. They ain't coming, they ain't listening because we ain't going. You know, I thank the Lord, our last fall festival we had. And I wanted to thank each and every one that participated in it and worked and hard. And last week I was so tired I couldn't see straight. But we had the opportunity to minister and to get the gospel into well over 200 homes in this area. You say, oh, well, our pews don't show it. Our seats don't show it. That's not what it's about. What it's about is witnessing and getting the gospel out there. Amen. Allow God to bring in the fruit. And you know what the world's waiting for? You know why they're not flooding our doors? The Bible says, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know why they're not flooding our doors? Why should they? We're no different than them. When we live like them, act like them, have the same music as them, why would they want to come here? Why? What's the change? When we dress like them and look like them, we dress worldly, we dress immodestly, why would they want to come? There's no difference. What they have to be able to see is they have to be able to see Christ. Now again, I know that we got some good people here. And by and large, I would say most of our church is wanting good things from God. And I know that there's some that witness and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I am saying, church, is we can do a whole lot more. We can do a whole lot more. And we ought to. And what I'm asking you and challenge you as a church, between now and November 8th, will you get on your knees and beg God to forgive us and to turn our country around? And get on our knees and beg God to get some people up in Washington that have godly values. You know, I've talked to you all about missionaries and preachers and being able to send them out of this church. And I'd love to be able to do that one day. But you know what would be really great? Is one day to see Justin raise his hand up and be sworn in as the President of the United States of America. He said, oh, that'll never happen. It could. It could. And why not come from our church? Why not let's raise up men and women, young men and women with good values that'll go and run for these government offices and get in there and make a difference. Church, I'm asking you between now and November, let's get on our knees and pray. Because I'm afraid of what'll happen if we don't. I'm afraid that in the next 2 years, America won't exist. Oh, it might exist in name, but not in what America is. Church, it's time to stand. time to get active. It's time to get involved. And the best way we can do that is to give ourselves and then get out there and do something about it. Start telling people about Jesus. Start inviting people to church. Get out there and stand up for what's right and stop buying into the, I'm just one person and there's nothing I can do to change it. And get out there and do something. God's worth it. And I believe America's worth it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I pray for the salvation of our president. President Joe Biden and his wife, Jill. Lord, I pray that you would send somebody by their way today that he would listen to and that he would bow his head before you and accept you as his Lord and Savior. And Lord, I think of our Vice President, Kamala Harris, and her husband. Lord, I pray that you'd send somebody by their way today that would witness and tell them about you, and I pray for their salvation. And Lord, we've got a bunch of political leaders that need you as their Savior. I pray today that they would be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the missionaries that are working in Washington. I pray that you'd give them fruit for their labor. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with our church. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Kentucky. Lord, I pray that you would be with the people of Kentucky. Lord, that we would put a stop to the sin and the evilness and the wickedness that's going around our state. And Lord, I pray that we'd stand up and we'd stop the sin and the evilness that's going on in our schools. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the boldness that we need. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do it according to your will and according to your word. Lord, help us to never lose our love and compassion for the lost. And Lord, help us to be faithful. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray.